Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there across America, why, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Barbara McQuiggan, and we're going to be talking about what parents really want their children to know, and, of course, what's happening in our schools and really what's happening to our society. Barbara, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, gosh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about your concern about the parents. Now, of course, parents are the ones who are primarily responsible for their children's education, but increasingly people just send their children off to school, and somehow it belongs to the state. We're going to turn it over to them, and the children need to go to school. They need to be, but do they need to get the sort of education they're getting?
Well, of course not, Dr. Stan. I mean, the problem is that our children are being raised in a culture of death. And, you know, I remember reading a while back that the 20th century was the most homicidal in the history of the world, marked as it was by mass murder, genocide, abortion, euthanasia. And I don't hold a whole lot of human hope. There's always hope in God, of course, but I don't hold a lot of human hope for the 21st century to be any better than the 20th, unless the state of our world radically changes. So this is the climate where good parents are trying to raise their children, where evil has reached its apex, when you stop and think about it, and where sin abounds, but especially sexual sins. So as the president of Voice of Virtue International, we are trying, I am trying to get the message out that the disease of a culture that is saturated in sex and disordered love will inevitably infect all aspects of genuine family life, and of course, including the nucleus of family life, which is the church.
Amen to that. And, of course, we see it just watching television. I mean, the programs seem to go from depraved to depraver to depravist, and then they even get worse than that. And,
yes.
You know, of course, the children are watching this, and they're, you know, they're like a sponge. They're picking up all of these things, and soon they're going to be imitating everything they've seen there. And, you know, you listen to Jay Leno and some of these things, and, of course, there just is no need to have the vulgarity that they have. But they do it, and I believe that there are certain people who would like to corrupt the very essence of the soul of the American people, and certainly the children. I think they're doing a great job. I don't think if I was the devil, I could do a better job than is being done by the entertainers and by the networks in America.
Oh, I think they're working for him, Doctor. I agree with you 100%. They are deeply ignorant, pathetically misguided souls. And they are, really, they're trying to destroy the very souls of our kids. And so this is why I'm trying to teach, before I go out and give retreats to mostly 8th grade on up high school students and university students, I make it a point, and if I can make it mandatory, I do, to hold a parent night for the parents, because parents are the primary educators of their kids. And also those of us who have been appointed by them to teach. And I would like to bring forth to them, and I impress upon the parents, the importance of bringing forth to them the 6th and 9th commandments, to teach them with closer scrutiny so that they are understood with perfect clarity. And I think this is so important for many reasons. But most importantly for this reason, Dr. Stan, and I think you'll agree with me, unless these two commandments are observed, the 5th commandment will inevitably be violated. Thou shalt not kill.
Amen to that. Well, I agree with you totally, and I really think that it's so vitally important that people understand what indeed is going on in our society, and there's no incidence in all history where a nation has turned its back on God, where God has not eventually turned his back on that society. And I think that this really is what's going on today, because behind all of these things that are happening are these spiritual forces we always talk about. Well, now, Barbara is the president of Voice for Virtue, and she goes out giving talks, and she's been all over this country, in fact, all over the world, giving talks. We went into Australia and New Zealand with her some years ago, my wife and myself, really an exciting time. And, of course, I think a lot of these children really want to be told what to do, don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. They really, they're tired of mediocrity. They want to know what is good, true, and holy. And that's why, you know, we've got to bring forth these teachings. I mean, why does Christ say that the gate is narrow and few will be saved? Because of the widespread practice of fornication and adultery and active homosexuality. Every sin against chastity is an indulgence in selfishness. So when we try to bring forth the truth about the beautiful Christian virtue of chastity, which is what Voice of Virtue is trying to do, we are actually talking about selfless charity. And I'd like to quote here Father John Harden. He's one of my mentors. He died a few years ago. He says, "I have been a priest for 52 years, and I know what I am saying. Sex is the deepest and strongest power of bodily human nature. The price of eternal life is high, and the reason is because human nature is so naturally prone to lust. To master this tendency of our fallen humanity, we must make any sacrifice which God demands of us." End of quote. And Stan, honestly, these kids are willing to make the sacrifice. I honestly believe that the time is not far off when those who practice Christian morals will be the primary enemies of the state.
Well, you know, it's really so interesting. We see, you know, how effective a good moral message can be. We see it in Uganda, where the incidence of AIDS infection is dropped and dropped significantly, in the general population. But it is because they preach morality there. And in Africa, they preach morality. Here in the United States, we preach immorality. There's something terribly, terribly wrong. The only two countries in Africa where they've made any impact on the incidence of the disease, where the rates have fallen, would be Zambia and Uganda, where they both, in both countries, the state has preached abstinence and morality. And here, anybody who talks about abstinence, and then you hear these sophists and say, why there's no statistics to that. I mean, who could expect that this would work? Well, we'll mention abstinence, but what we really want is sex education.
Yes.
And, of course, this is a disaster. I got so interested in talking to you, I forgot what time it was, but right now I'm going to have to tell our listeners that this is Radio Liberty and remind you that we carry certain things, which I hope you'll want to get. One of them would be a phonicsopoly program, and basically it is a program that teaches children to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, to begin to think phonetically. It's a board game played like Monopoly, but it's actually five board games with progressive knowledge with each board game, and of course you actually play this with your children in about 16 to 20 hours. You can begin to reprogram their minds so that they will begin to think and speak phonetically. And of course, its major thing is to get them to the reading phonetically. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, which is 22 CDs that contain complete British Encyclopedia Britannica from 1911 before it was rewritten. Yes, they've rewritten history. They've rewritten everything to change the perspective of our children. Well, this program is a biblically based program that will take your child from kindergarten right up to the 12th grade. In fact, Dr. Robinson's first two sons went to the third year of college. They didn't even bother to go to the first 2 years of college. If you want your children to be well educated, if you want them to believe in God, family, and country, give serious consideration to get the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, $199.95, and you only have to buy the Saxon textbooks. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of
film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARN. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. Our guest today is Barbara McQuiggan, and of course, she's the president of Voice of Virtue. Barbara, how can people get in touch with your ministry if they'd like to?
Oh, my gosh, I'll give you the phone number. Right now, the phone number is 949-496-9650, and the address would be Voice of Virtue International, Post Office Box 3000, Mission Viejo, California, 92690.
That's Post Office Box 3000, Mission Vallejo.
Viejo, yeah, Viejo. It's V-I-E-J-O. It's not pronounced the way it is.
Viejo, and that's 92690?
That's correct.
Okay, we've got that. And, of course, that's Voice of Virtue International. And Barbara goes all over giving talks. And, you know, do you get invitations to go to schools, to go to universities?
Oh, I certainly do. In the English-speaking world, just about every year I'll be in Australia, New Zealand, England, Ireland, and Canada, and then, of course, across the United States. And really, Dr. Stan, our message is to try to bring forth the fact that the only ones who know true freedom will be the Christians who practice true charity. And everyone around them is going to be sinking into a real and degrading slavery, because as Proverbs 25:28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls.
Well said. Well, of course, the abstinence message seems to be taking hold. You know, we find really a significant decrease in the incidence of abortion, a significant increase in the number of teenage pregnancies and unmarried mothers. And, you know, of course, the other side is trying to say, well, our sex education message is working. And I don't think it's working at all. I think it is simply people like you who are putting out the abstinence, charity, chastity, moral message that are really having an impact on our children.
Well, I would like to think that too, Dr. Stan, because we're working awfully hard at it, and by the grace of God, and only by His grace, are we able to keep on, as they say. It's really a double-edged sword, and we can expect to be persecuted, we can expect to be isolated, and I think what hurts more than anything is when we're persecuted from within, you know, from within people, our own Christian friends, people in the church sometimes, and that's what makes it difficult for me. But I do believe that it is a calling, and I believe that as long as God gives me the breath to speak, this is what I will be doing, because I think that bringing souls to Christ and helping these young souls who are being bombarded with sexual messages from the media, and as you said earlier, I mean, just it can't get any more depraved. I mean, it's really and truly disgusting messages that are coming out of the television, the Hollywood, and the videos, the music industry. So our message really, I remember reading once, Dr. Stan, that self-control is like the immune system. People who despise self-control think that they are breaking free, and in reality, they're breaking down.
You're absolutely right, and as we've said so many times on this program, freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do, but the ability to do what you should do according to God's commandments. And you'll probably hear me say that again, but that really is the very essence of what this is all about.
You
have to have self-rule before you can rule others, and certainly a person who can't control themselves certainly cannot control others, and this is why you have a person like Bill Clinton. He couldn't control himself, so he couldn't be an effective leader. future.
Exactly. And you know, Dr. Stan, I mean, I feel like I would be remiss at this point in not bringing up the current clerical sex abuse scandal.
All right. Well, why don't you touch on that? Because I think many people are concerned about it, whether it be Catholic or Protestant. I think everybody is concerned about it, and they're certainly using this as a vehicle of just attacking the Catholic faith. And of course, when you attack the Catholic faith, you attack, you know, one of the two great bastions of Christendom. Christianity itself is under attack today from all sides, both the Protestant and Catholic Church, but this is a field day for the anti-Catholics.
Oh, absolutely. And it has really sent shockwaves through the church and American society. And I know, as our Holy Father, Pope John Paul said, he said, the abuse which has caused this crisis is by every standard wrong and rightly considered a crime by society. It is also an appalling sin in the eyes of God. So this sort of thing does such harm to the entire church. And I feel like it's important. My sense right now is because this whole scandal was very close to home, my parish, Dr. Stan, of 17 years, just in the last few months, lost its pastor and one of its associate pastors. And then in the last 5 years, we've lost three other ones. And I was walking out of Mass one day, and my friend said to me, when our pastor was removed, she said, I feel so betrayed. And I said, you know, that's a valid feeling. I understand. She said, and I'm losing my faith. And I said, well, that would be a valid feeling if your faith was in Father so-and-so. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, it shouldn't even be shaken, much less lost. And I told her, I said, if your faith is going to depend on the sinlessness of priests, you're in big trouble. Because a priest, a bishop, a cardinal, anyone can commit mortal sins just like the rest of us. So, maybe she was a little shaken, but I think about it, Dr. Stan, if a priest or a minister or a rabbi tickles your ears and shies away from speaking the full truth, and especially in regards to sexual morality and really applying the gospel to today's problems, what he should do is put his own picture up in the front of the church, because he's not bringing the multitudes to Christ. He's bringing them to himself. And that's where my friend was at. She was basically putting her faith in the pastor and not in Jesus Christ. So, you know, I quote Galatians 1:12 all the time. If I were trying to win man's approval, I would surely not be serving Christ. So I think that what people need to understand is that the church is simultaneously the mystical body of Christ and a human institution composed of sinful human beings whom Christ has come to redeem. And, Vatican II, I mean, if you look at the Vatican II notes, you'll see that Lumen Gentium number 8 says that the church, clasping sinners to her bosom, is at once holy through the blood of Christ, but also in need of purification and penance, because of the sins of her members, including her ministers. So I think it's no secret, if you think about it, that in every generation we've had church leaders who have not been faithful to Jesus Christ. And if you think about it a little further, you'll see that after spending a night in prayer, Jesus selected 12 men who would be the first leaders in his church. The apostles knew Jesus, they lived with him, they saw all his wondrous deeds, his miracles. He gave them authority to heal, to cast out demons, to teach. And yet, despite this sublime calling, Judas betrayed him. So when you think about it, did Judas's failing bring down the church? No. They chose Matthias to take his place. And the church, through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, continues to be the instrument of salvation until the end of time. So I think it's important that we distinguish, however difficult it may be, and believe me, it was difficult for many members of my parish, that the holiness and necessity of the church must be distinguished from the sinful witness given by some of her pastors and members. And also, I think that another friend of mine said, well, I place all the blame on the bishops. And I would have to respond, yes, some bishops and cardinals are definitely directly or indirectly implicated. There's no doubt about it. But do we blame Jesus for appointing Judas? I believe the problem has to be put into perspective. And of course, as you said, the media, the biggest cheerleading squad for exposing this scandal, is making the problem or giving the impression that the problem is much greater than it really is. So if you don't mind, Dr. Stan, I'd like to give just a few statistics that I think would be helpful in understanding this situation.
All right, you go for it. We've got about a minute and a half before we have to go to the break.
Okay, well, in since January 2002, around 218 priests have been removed because of allegations of sexually abusing minors. This is from the Washington Post, June 9, 2002. That is fewer than 0.5% of the 46,075 priests in this country. And as an aside, I think another distinction needs to be made here. The media, seeking to destroy the moral order of religion in our society, has bombarded us with each and every charge of pedophilia filed against Catholic priests. And I think it's important that we see that pedophilia refers to the sexual abuse of prepubescent children. So the truth of the matter is only a very small percentage of the cases that form the basis of the current scandal actually involve pedophilia. Credible studies have indicated that 0.3% of priests are pedophiles, Dr. Stan.
Yes, but they certainly were having relationships with, rather young people. But be that as it may, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll get back to that when we return.
Okay.
The thing is that right now we just want to mention that Radio Liberty does carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and if you're interested in learning more about them, we'll be glad to send you a brochure. And now we make no claims at all, but I'll tell you, many of our people who use the Miracle 2 products really do like them and think that they've helped them a good deal. So if you'd like to give them a try, of course, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a lotion and a neutralizer and a gel, and you can get those at a special reduced rate by calling 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or if you'd like to simply get the brochure put out by the manufacturer, why, of course, we'd be glad to send you that. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we want to mention some of the various items we have. We have a sustainable development syllabus. Right now there's a big meeting being held in Johannesburg, South Africa, and they're dealing with the problem of sustainable development. Most people don't even know what it's all about. Here in the Monterey Bay Area, most people don't know that the buildings that burnt down over in Stephen Creek Boulevard over in San Jose this last week were part of a sustainable community. What is a sustainable community? Well, you need to get our sustainable development syllabus and understand that there is a plan by a group of very wealthy and powerful elitists to change the world forever. And, of course, to create these communities that will be self-contained with very few people in them living at very, very low living standards, but controlled by block wardens, almost like a communistic society. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can get the Sustainable Development Syllabus. You can get the Sustainable Development 4-tape set. You can get the Sustainable Development video. But give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today.
A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Barbara McGuigan, and of course the organization she represents, Voice of Virtue International. If you're out there across America, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Barbara. And she is one of the most captivating speakers I've ever heard, and I've heard her speak on a number of occasions on basically the same pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family, a pro-Christian agenda. And of course, the one thing that will keep a family together is if both husband and wife have a common belief in the Lord. And of course, as long as the faith is strong, well, the marriage is going to be strong. And that's what maintains a marriage, as the years go by. When the romance is not as quite as romantic as it was when you're young, it is still a common belief in the Lord that draws men and women and maintains them through the years and through the decades. Well, Barbara, you pick up where you left off.
Oh, okay, Dr. Stan. My last statement was that studies indicate that 0.3% of priests are actually pedophiles. In actuality, according to reputable non-Catholic sources, such as Philip Jenkins of Penn State University, he said priests are less likely to be pedophiles than are married men. And then Leon Podolz, the senior editor of Touchstone, states in his article called Catholic Scandals, A Crisis for Celibacy, that almost all of the cases which the media reports as pedophilia in this crisis are actually involving adolescent boys who are sexually mature but under the age of consent, which is 16 under our canon law and then 18 in civil law. Now, this type of sexual attraction, he says, is properly known as ephebophilia, which is a known variety of homosexuality.
And, of course, the homosexuals try to separate themselves from this entire thing, saying, we should be Boy Scout leaders, we should be big brothers and big sisters. There is no increase of incidence of child molestation by homosexuals, and that just isn't true. This is the problem. It is the homosexual involvement of some of the priests, not all of them, but certainly a very small number of them. But
yes,
there seems to have been this almost conscious effort to infiltrate the church, to discredit the church, and boy, they sure have done a good job of it.
Well, and you're so right, Dr. Stan, because this is where, at this point, when you start to talk about homosexuality, this is where the liberal media bows out, because it is so culturally unsavvy to speak out against homosexuality, no matter what the circumstances. And so I think it's necessary to understand that since 85 to 90% of all the recent allegations of sexual misconduct in our church involve ephebophilia or homosexual encounters with teenage boys, a fair reading of the sign of the times would indicate that the bulk of this current crisis is traceable to increased toleration of homosexual activity in some of our dioceses. Certainly not all, but I like to quote Monsignor Eugene Clark, who is the rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. He said, unfortunately, homosexual students were allowed to pass through seminaries. Grave mistake. Not because homosexuals in any way tend to criminality, but because it is a disorder, and as a disorder, should prevent a person from being ordained a priest.
Well, that's well said. I certainly couldn't, and I would feel that whether a priest or minister, this is a psychological disorder. It's a compulsive behavioral pattern. It is an addiction, same with same-sex orientation, and that is where the problem is.
There's
a few of the homosexuals are celibate, but certainly very, very few of them, because, and especially today, with the gay agenda, which is encouraging people just to go ahead and do whatever you want to do, there are no limits. You want to be free. And, of course, what you're seeing today is moral anarchy, and this is what has gripped our society today.
That's exactly right. And Dr. Stan, I would also like to address the opponents and the critics of the Catholic Church from within and from without. who are using this latest scandal as an opportunity, really, to promote their own agendas.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm really happy to be getting this off my chest, I guess you could say. The majority of those people who advocate the abolition of mandatory celibacy, because they believe celibacy somehow retards the normal psychosexual development of a man, which causes child sexual abuse. These people have been lobbying for years to have a married clergy in the Latin Church, as well as women's ordination, and they refer to liberation from church teachings on morality issues such as contraception and abortion. I'll never forget once, Dr. Stan, I was talking to a very liberal American Catholic, I should say, and this person was saying, oh, well, we need to have married priests and we need to have women priests, and they've just got to change their teachings on contraception and abortion. And I looked at her and I said, can you imagine a pregnant priestess in the throes of contraceptive failure, wondering whether or not she should abort her child as it might interfere with her priestly ministry? I mean, stop and think about it. The ridiculousness of what they are espousing. So then, in recent years, many commentators have argued that if the church would only do away with celibacy requirements, because this is what I get all the time, you know, people will throw that back at me. They say, well, you'll have many more candidates for the priesthood if you get rid of celibacy. But see, here's a fact that is frequently overlooked, Dr. Stan. The number of seminarians worldwide is up 73% since 1978 when our Pope, John Paul, became Pope, from 63,882 to 110,583.
Yes, but that's not true here in the United States, and don't you really think that's, in, at least in large part, I'm talking about your traditional seminaries. I know that you have some very conservative seminaries that are
yes.
doing very well, but nobody's going to give their life for a religion that doesn't hold strictly to the teachings of the past. People are not going to give their life for a liberal theology. They will give their life for a conservative theology that is Christ-centered, but not for so much of what's being taught in America today. And yet, in many parts of the world, really they are holding to the tenets of the faith, aren't they?
Amen. And one thing for sure, Dr. Stan, is that new vocations tend to be dramatically up where the teachings and practices of the church, including priestly celibacy, are enthusiastically and unambiguously promoted. You see, normally where we see the shortage of priestly vocations, you will typically find those most severe in areas where there is widespread dissent and in many cases a crisis of faith. So this is where we see a lack of priestly vocations, and of course, in the United States, this is what we're seeing in the American church. But another thing that really gets to me is when they say, you know, well, if priests could just get married, you wouldn't have these sexual abuse problems. How degrading to women, Dr. Stan, and what an insult to the sacrament of matrimony to even suggest that if priests could get married, they would no longer seek to have relations with other men or abuse young children. I mean, to me, this the logic in this, well, there is no logic in this. So the problem isn't celibacy, but ordaining and maintaining an active ministry men who aren't chaste. You see, the Catholic teachings are not responsible for these scandals. It's the people that are disobeying the church teachings that are responsible for these scandals. So, I mean, I'm saying over and over again, Dr. Stan, that our culture is descending deeper and deeper in immorality, and this whole phenomenon of the lack of sexual restraint is merely reflective of the sexual mores in this country. You know, when you accept pornography and self-abuse that goes along with it and cohabitation before marriage, marital infidelity and divorce, when these are widespread and accepted, of course except for priests according to the media, right? This is what you see. This is what we're going to have. So what does the church say? Rather than water down her teachings and practices to accommodate this decadent culture, the church needs to be the light to the world through her word and example of her members. It's all about bringing souls to Christ, and this is what Voice of Virtue is all about, bringing souls to repentance and conversion, turning away from our sins, including our sexual sins. And not only that, but Voice of Virtue exists to safeguard and uphold authentic Christian appreciation of sex, of gender differences, marriage, and even the value of celibacy for the sake of the kingdom. So, I mean, I'm thankful that you were so kind as to let me bring forth some of these truths today, because it's very frustrating for a person like me to know these facts and not to be able to bring them forth. I just returned from World Youth Day up in Canada, and I'll tell you, Dr. Stan, that Saturday night when it was hotter than blue blazes. I mean, you can't imagine how hot it was. It was just like it was stifling heat, and there were approximately 800,000 young souls in this Downsview Park, where we had to walk about 10 miles, 5 miles once you got into the park to get to the site where our Holy Father would be. And then we had to park so far away that it took us 5 miles to get to the 5 miles where we had to continue to walk. And it was just unbelievable the way these kids just sat there. They were tired, they were weary, but they were waiting for our Holy Father. And as the night started to fall, they took out of their little backpacks. They had all these tan and red backpacks, and they took out their candles, and they lit them and held them up in solidarity with the Vicar of Christ. And honestly, this magnificent spectacle, Dr. Stan, made me forget the crisis in this church, because I saw thousands, literally thousands of young faces that were radiating light and hope.
You had 800,000 people there?
800,000 young souls in this huge, huge Downsview Park, it was called. And when they lit those candles and you saw all of this light, these little flickers, I want to share with you what our Holy Father said, because this is really unbelievable. He said, "Even a tiny flame lifts the heavy lid of night. How much more light will you make all together if you bond as one in the communion of the church?" He said, "If you love Jesus, love the church." And then, this actually brought tears to all the people that were with me. He said, "Do not be discouraged by the sins and failings of some of her members. The harm done by some priests and religious to the young and vulnerable fills us all with a deep sense of sadness and shame."
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment with Barbara McQuiggan, and of course we'll welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we want to mention that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there across America, why, of course, we welcome your calls, and welcome your calls to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, of course, you'll be helping us do what we do, 5 hours a day trying to reach out across America to educate people as to the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. Now, of course, many, many people perhaps are unable to do that. If they'd like simply to get a copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send one free of charge. You can simply subscribe to the newsletter. We hope, though, that you will tell others about our radio programs, that you'll tell them about our website, which is radioliberty.com, where 5 hours a day they can get our various radio programs covering one or another aspect of what's going on in the world today, sometimes from a spiritual point of view, sometimes from a political point of view, but of course the major thing is for people to understand the true nature of what's going on today. America has turned its back on God. And when a nation turns its back on God, God turns his back on the nation. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find time and time and time again that nations that have violated God's law have actually eventually been destroyed. And this country is well on its way in that direction. We're facing a financial crisis. We're going into a war in the Middle East. Why are we going into a war in the Middle East with Saddam Hussein, who has chemical weapons, when Fidel Castro has chemical weapons, when Putin has chemical weapons? This is simply a justification to take us into a war that will further restrict our freedom. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Barbara McQuiggan, and of course she is the president of the Voice of Virtue International, and of course I'm coming from a Protestant point of view, she's coming from a Catholic point of view, but yeah, of course I've been to many of the Catholic meetings and Catholic programs, and one of the things I am convinced of is that they are absolutely right in trying to have large families. Looking back on my life, one of my great regrets is that I really didn't have more in the way of a larger family. And somebody wrote to me recently and asked me, where they could get information on birth control. And, of course, are there problems with birth control or hazards with birth control? And I tried to think of where in the Protestant we could go as a Protestant to get that information. I realized that there was nothing within the Protestant programs or basically Protestant things that I've ever read that talks about the real physical harm of birth control, the harm of the pill, the harm of men actually getting their tubes tied, or not tubes tied, but certainly the men being sterilized. And there real are complications with anything we try to do to thwart God's plan. And then, of course, we see today the Muslims, encouraging large families here in America. We see the Protestant church going right along with very, very small families. The Catholic Church still advocates large families. And I will tell you that in Europe, why the Western civilization is dying out, because the people are not having families. The Muslims are reproducing. The Protestants are not. And you go even into Italy, which is predominantly a Catholic nation. 1.2 children per family when it takes 2.1 children per family to reproduce the population. And even Catholic France, previously Catholic France, previously Catholic Spain, you'll find many more mosques than you will churches today. And the mosques are full and the churches are empty. And whether you agree or disagree, you have to realize that we are destroying ourselves. It seems that there is a conscious effort to destroy Western civilization. And within 50 to 75 years, the Muslims will be the predominant force in Europe because we've heeded the siren's call of, well, let's not have big families. And I really fault the Protestant Church for not taking an active stand, as active as the Catholics do, and basically saying we were told to be fruitful and to multiply. And yet, of course, we're not doing it. The Catholics at least adhere to that and still say that divorce is wrong. In the Protestant Church, we find in many areas of the country why the vast majority of the divorces among Protestants end in divorce. At least it doesn't in the Catholic Church, nowhere near as many as in the Protestant Church. So there are problems in all of Christendom today. Would you agree?
Oh, I certainly would, Dr. Stan. And if you remember Father Paul Marx, the founder of Human Life International, he said the reason that we don't have a huge amount of vocations, especially in the American church, is because we're not having children in the American church, see. So, you know, you need to have large families produce unselfish children. And I'm not trying to say that to pad my part. I'm the oldest of 11 kids, but you do. It stands to reason that if you have to share, I mean, if you're taught how to unselfishly love and share, that you will be more willing to give everything up to, especially to become a religious, a priest or some sister in the religious life. And to get back to our Holy Father, when he was talking to the kids, he said, he was talking about how we're all filled with a deep sense of sadness and shame because of the scandals is what he was referring to. But then he said, but think of the vast majority of dedicated and generous priests and religious whose only wish is to serve and do good. He said, there are many priests, seminarians, and consecrated persons here today, and believe me, there were thousands. Be close to them, he said, and support them. But this next line, Stan, I tell you, he said, and if in the depths of your hearts you feel the same call to the priesthood or consecrated life, do not be afraid to follow Christ on the royal road of the cross. Honestly, that's the first time I've ever heard him say those words. Maybe he's said them before, but I had not known that. The royal road of the cross. Wasn't it Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die? Have you ever heard that before?
No, I never have, but it's beautifully said.
When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. My gosh, I mean, celibacy, far from being a deprivation of love, I think must be seen as the manifestation of the greatest love. When you are ready to give up everything, including your family, in order to serve Christ. I mean, as a Catholic priest, as a Catholic, the Catholic faith is a hard faith to live in, but it's a great faith to die in. And I think it was Martin Luther who said that. So I was so pleased the way our Holy Father, just always his words, he said, he looked at these kids, and these were his last words. He said, do not let your hope die. He said, stake your lives on it. We are not the sum of our weakness and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son. So he always leaves everyone with hope. You know, I mean, that's just what's so beautiful. And wherever I go, that's what I try to do, to follow his role. Because I remember reading once that St. John of the Cross said, hope is so pleasing to God that the soul will obtain all that it hopes for.
All right. Well, let's go to Rory who's calling in. Is this Rory from Watsonville?
Yes, it is, Dr.
And
Dan.
Of course, Rory, Rory's got, what, 8 or 9 children now?
Nine
children. But he's not even Catholic.
Well, you know what they say about NFP. NFP doesn't stand for not for Protestants.
All right,
yeah,
fine.
I'm going back to my Catholic roots.
Were you raised as a Catholic?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, God bless you. And I think I envy you that wonderful, wonderful family you have.
Oh,
well, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But like you said, it's the way of the cross, dying
that's
to self.
Right. Dying to self. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I had a quick question. I know you alluded to it, Dr. Stan, and I missed that portion of the program, but what are the health detriments of vasectomies? Because I never hear anything from anybody, anywhere.
Well, there are studies, and I go to all these meetings, you know, and there are doctors, Catholic doctors there, that have studied, and you get an autoimmune response because, of course, the sperm can't get out, and you develop an immunity to it, and there are real physical problems with that. I don't have all the facts right at my fingertips, but there are real problems that come when you begin to interfere with God's plan. And the same thing holds true for the use of the pill.
Yep.
Yeah. And, of course, the women will have real problems with that. They'll have an increased tendency towards getting blood clots and and they can get strokes and other things. And but this is all played down, you see, because of the population-controlled people.
Sure.
They do not allow this information to get out.
Sure.
And, you know...
There was all that information that came out about your 800% increase in breast cancer when you terminate your first pregnancy in an abortion.
It's not that high, but certainly there was
an increase. It was 8 times. I'm sorry.
Right.
Maybe I overstated saying 800%. It was a huge increase if you took your first pregnancy and terminated it with an abortion. Your chance of getting breast cancer went up 8 times. That is
800%. 50%. You have a 50% chance of getting breast cancer if you aborted your first child. And if you have a genetic predisposition to breast cancer in your family, in other words,
yes,
you would, and you aborted your first child, you would have 100% of a chance.
Okay.
It's not 100% chance, but there is an increase.
An increase.
Now, it's not 100% chance, but by the time you have your second or third miscarriage without ever carrying a child at term, this is where you really get into trouble. You know, do you realize that 1 in 3 lesbians gets breast carcinoma, and they're actively suppressing that fact because they want to encourage lesbianism?
Right, right. Hey, but by the way, Dr. Stan, if you could sometime in the future get that info out on the vasectomy and as far as the drawback to it, because, I mean, I know lots of Christian men, my friends of mine, that have gotten and are getting them.
I know.
And they just go along, and I can't believe it. It's like, guys, wake up, you know.
And the thing is, you know, the amazing thing is I've never heard anybody in the Protestant church speaking out, and I have to go to Catholic meetings to get the scientific basis for what's wrong with this.
Yeah, three cheers for the Catholics.
Dr. Stan, there is a group called Protestants Against Birth Control. And I don't have their address. I wish I did, but I could refer this young gentleman to the Couple to Couple League. This is in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I think they would have the documentation that he's asking
website?
For. You know, they probably do. It would be coupletocouple.com, probably something like that. But
okay.
I know they're in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I know you can call, the directory and get it. They'll give you the phone number.
All right. Thank you very much. And
God bless you.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
And, of course, there's so much information. If we had time, we could cover all of these things and get to the scientific facts, which you're certainly not going to get from other sources. Well, we're out of time, Barbara. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. God bless you. And we'll look forward to having you with us again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Right. It's a privilege.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Barbara McQuiggan. And I will tell you, she's one of the most captivating speakers you'll ever hear. And we're going to have her on 4 times, want to put together a 4-tape set so that they can, of course, circulate this. It'll be primarily circulated among Catholics. I will be criticized for putting on an effective Catholic speaker. Well, I'm not here to say that everything in the Protestant church is right or everything in the Catholic church is right or wrong. I am here to say that I believe there are a lot of Catholics who love the Lord. I believe we've got problems in all of Christendom today, and I think Barbara's ministry is one of the most effective ones I've ever encountered, calling people to chastity, calling people to sexual abstinence, calling people to change their attitude and come to know the Lord. And so I applaud her for what she has. I hope you've enjoyed the program. And of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for God's mercy on this nation, because this nation has turned against God. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.
help a lot of people.